You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I hope you're sitting down. Here is the question. How does a 32-year-old gorgeous female prison guard digress into a sex relationship with a, quote, depraved double murderer? There's so many layers to that onion, I hardly know where to start. So I'll just start with a butcher knife, like I do in the kitchen.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
First of all, take a listen to Tyler Hunt at Crime Online.
Lauren McIntyre is a 32-year-old mother of three, 2 4-month-old twins, and a 5-year-old. She's also an avid runner, which helps her stay fit for her physically demanding job. She supports her family as a prison guard at a men's facility that houses around 1,000 inmates. Records show that 98% of prisoners held there are sex offenders.
Whoa, what a bunch. And I thought I had it bad when I go into the courthouse full of defendants waiting for trial. 98% of the people of the 1,000 inmates are sex offenders. Again, I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thanks for being with us. Let me introduce to you an all-star panel. First of all, judge and trial lawyer, Court TV anchor, Ashley Wilcott at ashleywilcott.com. Renowned psychiatrist joining us out of the Atlanta area, Dr. Angela Arnold at angelaarnoldmd.com. Former cop turned PI, Robert Crispin, Crispin Special Investigations at crispinsinvestigations.com. Special guest joining us today, Percy Pitzer, federal warden, 30-year career in corrections at ccefscholarships.org. But first, to Ray Caputo joining us, lead news anchor, WDBO. Ray, it's really hard for me to take it in, especially as I am a mother of twins, and I can't think of anything I would willingly do to jeopardize my 100% custody of the twins. Because if I started an affair that ended my marriage, you know, my husband, David, he wouldn't be happy with weekend visits with John, David, and Lucy. O-H-E-L-L-N-O. He would at least want 50% of the time, and I would at least want 50% of the time. That would be the war between the gods. So let's just don't even go there, all right? Why would this woman jeopardize a life with her children? I don't understand that. Just, you know what, Ray? Start at the beginning. What happened?
All right, this happened at the Isle of Wight. It's a prison. And what happened was there was a prison guard named Lauren McIntyre. And at some point, she starts to get a little close after an investigation to one of the inmates there, a guy named Andrew Roberts.
He was okay, wait. How do you, quote, get a little close to a depraved double killer? Depraved, their words, not mine. And, quote, sanction him to beat up her fellow officer while he's serving 2 life prison sentences for strangling his girlfriend and her 8-month-old daughter. I mean, wait a minute. Ray Caputo, I thought I needed to go to you first to get some more facts, but right there, I know it. You know it. Everybody in the studio knows it. I need a shrink and pronto. Dr. Angela Arnold.
Hey, Nancy.
Why would you risk 50% custody of your children to have sex with a depraved killer?
Good God, Nancy, why would you work at a place like that?
Hey, wait a minute, little lady. I've been in many a jail and worked with depraved killers, trying to put them in jail my whole legal career. Why would you work there? A, it's a job. B, maybe you like making sure people stay in jail. I do. So, you know, what I'm talking about is, I mean, you could say that about any lady cop. You know what? That's sexist, Dr. Angela Arnold. I'm on you.
You know what, Nancy? The reason I say that is because first, I'm trying to think about what is behind, what was this woman thinking before she even started doing any of this, okay? And there are lots of places where you can work, but she especially put herself in a place where 99% of the people are sex offenders.
Yes, she did.
So I'm wondering what in the very first place, what possessed her to go work in a place like that? Now, I believe that the reason that she's able to do something like this and go work in a place like this, she is personality disordered. Okay?
So you're basing that on basically nothing?
No, I'm basing it on what she did while she was at the facility.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Ashley Wilcott, judge, trial lawyer, anchor at Court TV, that argument that Dr. Angela Arnold just made, now, granted, she's a psychiatrist. We're just trial lawyers. She's the MD. We're just JDs, right? But that argument could be made about anybody that has an affair in their marriage, which is at least half the people in America, okay? Divorces. It doesn't even have to be an affair. We've got about a 50%+ divorce rate, right? So somebody does something in that relationship that brings on a divorce, regardless of what it is. So with Angela Arnold's reasoning, everybody that slips up in the marriage is mentally unstable. And I don't believe that.
I don't agree with that either, because listen, everybody is going to make a mistake. Everybody's going to sin. Everybody's going to do something they shouldn't in a marriage. That's going to happen at some point, whether it's, you know, my husband screaming at me because I may have accidentally locked my keys in the car, or whether it's something more egregious like an affair, whatever it is.
Well, also though, Ashley, one time locking your keys in your car, or maybe all the time, I knew Mr. Glass's phone number by heart in law school. I was always carrying so many books and so much stuff in my keys. I did it many times. I knew their number by heart. That was before cell phones too. I had to go find a phone,
a phone
to call Mr. Glass or Dr. Glass or whoever he was. So making a mistake is a lot different than, let me just say, my first choice of words is not allowed, a sex affair with a convicted killer, and you do over and over again. That's not a slip up, huh?
No, it's very different. But I'm just saying, in marriages, there can always be things that cause problems and lead to divorces. This is very different. To your point, this is very different. But I also have to comment on where she works. People have to work to pay bills, and in some communities.
Yeah, Dr. Arnold, not everybody has a nice cushy office with a sofa in it like you. Some of us have to go in the courtroom with defendants and argue with them and fight with them. Some of us have to go to the jail. Not everybody has it good, Arnold. Go ahead.
You know what? Nancy, I've been in all of those places also.
I know.
I'm sure all of us have. And just to my point, though, some of these communities, the jail may be the only place that offers a job that may be enough pay and benefits. But that does not at all excuse, condone, or make any sense out of someone who chooses to have a sexual relationship with someone convicted of these crimes.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, we are talking about a stunning turn of events at a high security lockup where 98% of the perps within that facility are registered sex offenders. How does this woman, this gorgeous woman, a mom of three, including young twins, embark on a sex relationship with a convicted double killer? You know, back to you, lead news anchor WDBO, Ray Caputo, joining us. Ray, sorry, as much as I want to hear the facts, I had to hear from a shrink because I'm having a hard time figuring out how you would jeopardize your life with your family to have sex with a double killer. But Ray, let's go back to the actual facts. You said they formed a relationship. Hey, before you kick it off, Ray Caputo, take a listen to Tyler Hunt at Crime Online.
McIntyre formed a relationship with Andrew Roberts after she was assigned to be his key worker. She claims she started a rapport with the convicted murderer in a bid to uncover intel on what was going on inside the prison. But that spiraled out of control pretty quickly. First, McIntyre did not reveal to her superiors that Roberts had an illegal cell phone. She gave him her number and sent him a photo of herself. The prison guard claimed it was so she could pass a test and show that she could be trusted. Then, the pair began regularly exchanging text messages. One message read, "Today was real hot and risky, but I'm so needing you." Another message, "I still keep remembering the first time you kissed me." A physical relationship began soon after.
Okay, I'm just letting that soak in. "I still remember the first time you kissed me." Okay, to Percy Pitzer, our special guest joining us, he has a 30-year career in the corrections facilities business, founder of Creative Corrections Education Foundation. Percy, how is it that, A, this happened? I mean, you know, I know even in our little Methodist church, before you become a Methodist pastor, you have to pass a psychological exam, which is why people like Jim Jones from Guyana got kicked out, couldn't join the brethren. My point is, don't you have to take an exam of some sort before you become a prison warden? And shouldn't somebody have noticed what was going on, Percy?
Well, it happens. This inmate targeted this lady.
I respect all of your information, but it happens is, you know, it made bumper stickers that says that minus the SH at the beginning. I don't really see that as an explanation of how it happened.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's an excuse. For example, I was walking down the corridor one day and I see this female conversing with this inmate. And that's not unusual, but something triggered me. So I called that lady into the office, and she confessed to have a relationship with this inmate. And my question to her was, why? She said, "Well, when I go home, my husband's mean to me. When I come to the prison, all the inmates treat me nice." Now, is that an excuse? Certainly not a valid excuse, but this inmate targeted this woman by saying that, you know, "I have information," whether it's maybe on an escape plot or introduction to contraband, "but you are the only one that I trust." And it goes on from there. And then when he accomplishes what he wants to accomplish, then he's so proud. I mean, he's got a trophy, so he's got to tell somebody. And then that somebody will tell somebody else, who will tell somebody else, and someone will report it to the administration. I mean, this lady is guilty with no question about it. But, you know, some of these inmates are pretty good at manipulation. I mean, that's why they're in prison.
I'm also curious as to how this went on for months and months and months without anyone detecting it. Percy Pitzer with Creative Corrections Education Foundation, 30 years in the corrections business. How'd they pull that off?
Well, he probably kept it to himself for a while, and then it got deeper and deeper, and he was so proud of himself that he just kind of put the word out to somebody else. And they always get caught, whether it's a week, a month, 6 months. I mean, someone eventually tells on them.
You know, I really believe that she should not be treated any differently than a male prison guard who has sex with the female inmates, which is a crime, I might add. Back to you, Ray Caputo, WDBO. How long did this go on, and how did they manage to pull it off?
It went on for about 4 months, and you just heard it there. I mean, they got a cell phone. They're sneaking around. They're trying to keep the relationship under wraps. But in a jail, in a monitored environment like that, there's only so long that can happen. But long story short is they were both, you know, creeping around. They were being secretive about this undercover relationship.
But and
this cell phone was able to facilitate it.
I don't get how much they can really creep. There are no walls. You know, on TV where you see those jail bars, that's real. I mean, you can see into the cell. How in the world did they manage to have an illicit sex affair behind bars? Just bars.
I've never been to jail, Nancy, and I don't plan on ever going to jail. But you know, when you got enough time on your hands, people make this happen. I mean, as difficult as it is to do things like this in jail, people still manage to do it all around the world. It doesn't matter what jail you're in.
Guys, we are talking about a young woman who is a prison guard who has an illicit sex affair with a double killer. Take a listen to our friends at crimeonline.com.
Andrew Roberts is a convicted killer found guilty of the deaths of his wife, Louise Lum, and 8-month-old daughter, Tia, at their home. Roberts was just 22 at the time. He strangled both while high on a cocktail of drink and drugs. Roberts sprayed the victims' bodies with perfume and aftershave to mask the smell, and then left the residence to carry on partying. Authorities captured him 5 days later. He was sentenced to 2 life terms.
Robert Crispin, former cop turned PI, Crispin Special Investigations. You can find him at crispinsinvestigations.com. Robert, murder is bad enough, but of your young wife and the baby girl, then to just add insult to injury, thinking to spray perfume aftershave over their bodies so the stench of their decomp wouldn't tip people off a murder had taken place. That is depraved.
That's just craziness. That's just behavior of someone who's not thinking straight, who kills his wife because he's high as can be, and at the last minute may think, how am I going to conceal this? Oh my God, there's going to be an odor. I'm going to douse these bodies with some perfume. These people aren't thinking straight. These cocktails of drugs put you in a completely different hemisphere when it comes to behavior. To be able to kill your wife and your daughter is beyond comprehension, but that's what these drugs do.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, this young woman, Lauren McIntyre, just 32 years old, now charged with felonies for a sex relationship with a double killer behind bars. You know, Dr. Angela Arnold, psychiatrist joining us out of the Atlanta jurisdiction, one thing that I repeated at the beginning is that she, Lauren McIntyre, is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, that, you know, Lady Justice is blindfold for a reason.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you look like, where you're from, your ethnicity, your religion, your race, your gender, old, young. It does not matter to Lady Justice. But many people marvel at why a beautiful, physically beautiful, with the stereotypical ideal of beauty, woman would be with a guy serving 2 life terms for murdering an infant girl and a defenseless woman. I mean, why? I mean, she could have had anybody with her looks. Why him?
Well, apparently she did have somebody because she was married, right?
Yeah.
So she had a husband. She was having children. I am quite sure she was manipulated by this killer.
No, there's no doubt about it.
Wait, who's saying there's no doubt about it? Who is that?
This is Percy.
Percy Pitzer, you know how I feel about you and all of your experience, but she's the one with the duty. It's like she's the adult in the relationship. You could argue sex victims manipulate the rapist into attacking them because they wore a short skirt or they wore a low-cut blouse. She had the duty not to do this.
There's no excuse for what she did, but I'm saying that some of these inmates are very good at manipulation.
I'm sure they all are. They all are because that's what they're in there for.
Yeah.
You know, Ashley Wilcott, you're a judge, trial lawyer, anchor court TV. Pitzer is right. Defendants can be very manipulative. Now, I think I've told you this story before, Ashley, so I'll try to be brief. I got assigned to a courtroom. It was the busiest trial court in the courthouse. They tried more cases per year than any other courtroom because of the judge who loved being on trial. So when you get assigned there, show up in your combat gear because you're going to be on trial every other week. Bam. End of story. Well, I showed up new in the courtroom, and the defendants in a plea calendar saw that I was wearing a cross. Let's just say you have a trial calendar on Monday. On Thursday, you have a plea and arraignment calendar for anybody you're going to plead out. The next week for plea and arraignment, I would say 7 or 8 inmates showed back up in the courtroom with giant woven crosses made out of knitting thread. Giant, like this big. And they'd come in. At that time, I would have the negotiations with my investigator plus the defendant himself and his lawyer. Would sit down, I'd read the file, I'd give him an offer, take it, leave it, go to trial. Your pick. They all paraded in wearing giant crosses they had woven basically overnight out of thread to try to get to me and manipulate me. The first one that came in, it did get to me a little bit. I'm like, well, you know, maybe he's remorseful. The second one that came in, I knew they had targeted me to manipulate me. It didn't take me that long, Ashley. You deal with convicts all the time, as have I. Weigh in on manipulation.
Well, yeah, they can manipulate. Absolutely. That's how they've gotten to where they are sometimes. But I have to say this. Yeah, he's manipulative. Yes, she may have been manipulated. But to the extent that she was manipulated, it's hard for me to fathom. I just can't understand. Remember, Nancy, this man has been convicted of brutal crimes. And she is a mother. She's a mother of children. And yet she ends up having a sexual relationship with a man who killed his own child. That's past manipulation. That is something that even though you're dealing with somebody who's exceedingly manipulative, you should know better and know to stop and not do it in the first place. It's beyond my, I can't fathom it. I just can't.
You know, another issue, and I'm not sure exactly what they're talking about, but I think I know. According to all the accounts, Ray Caputo, everything our investigators have learned, she was specifically trained so this wouldn't happen, Ray. Specifically.
Right, Nancy. But also, you know, one thing I think we're missing here is what was going on in this woman's life at the time that this was happening. Now, she is.
Wait a minute. Why do you care? Do you ask that when a man rapes a woman? Gee, I wonder if he was sad that day. Don't care.
No,
why do I care?
There's an important fact we haven't mentioned.
Okay.
That
I'm interested. There's something important. There's a reason she was having sex with a double killer. Can't wait to hear this. Go ahead.
She was having an affair previously with another prison guard, and I don't know how that ended, but clearly there was some animosity because part of her relationship with this inmate was getting him to beat up the ex-boyfriend, the ex-prison guard boyfriend. So to me, there's some animosity in all this, and maybe that she embarked on this affair simply to make this other guy jealous.
Okay, tell me the whole thing. I know that she convinced the inmate that she's having sex with, named Andrew Roberts, to beat up another prison guard. Tell me the whole thing. With me, Ray Caputo, WDBO. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, there was a cell phone that the inmate had, which was illegal, and McIntyre knew about it. So as they're exchanging these text messages, she learns, and I don't know her role if she encouraged this, but she learned that the inmate lover was going to attack a fellow prison guard. And she did absolutely nothing about it. And sure enough, that happened. The prison guard got injured, suffered a head injury. And I, you know, obviously after the fact, we learned about the plot, which was part of the reason she got in trouble. But yeah, she seemed to know about it and had no problem with this cold-blooded killer attacking a guy that she formerly had a relationship with.
Guys, take a listen to our friends at crimeonline.com.
McIntyre gave Roberts the phone number of a fellow prison officer, Samuel Laidler, whom she had previously been involved with. The pair intended to set Laidler up as the corrupt officer on the wing. Reports show McIntyre knew Roberts was planning to physically assault Laidler, but did not warn her fellow officer of imminent danger. Laidler was knocked unconscious in the attack and suffered severe head injuries.
So everything you're saying is absolutely correct. Not only attacking the other prison guard, but setting him up as being a bad or dirty prison guard. Not only attacking him, but ruining his reputation and career. Do I have that right, Ray Caputo?
Yeah, you absolutely do. It's pretty diabolical, Nancy. It doesn't matter if you're a prison guard or somebody on the outside. Getting someone to beat up your ex is not a good look.
I mean, but not only that, to Dr. Angela Arnold, it's one thing to take a knock on the head and pass out with a concussion, wake up. It's another thing when you wake up and your career is in shreds and your reputation has been ruined because you've been set up to look like the bad guy, the bad cop, the bad prison guard. Did you hear what Tyler Hunt just said? Mm-hmm. When he was reporting that they intended to set up Laidler as a corrupt officer on the wing.
So who's the manipulator, right? I mean, this woman, Nancy, that's why I said what I did at the very beginning.
What?
I am wondering why she chose a place like this to work. I do believe that there is some very deep-seated personality disorder.
Well, that may be true. That may be true, Dr. Angela, but having a personality disorder such as I'm narcissistic, I'm agoraphobic, that does not rise to insanity. I mean, Ashley Wilcott backed me up in our jurisprudence, which is common law, which was brought over from Great Britain, and we took some of their law to establish our law. We go by the old McNaughton rule, which is... insanity is whether you know right from wrong at the time of the incident. The fact that she was hiding and covering up the sex relationship shows she knows it was wrong.
Oh, I absolutely agree. That is the definition by law. And again, we talked about this on another show. It is exactly at the time that it's occurring. It can be a split second, just at that moment. And so I agree with you. That's evidence that she, in fact, knew exactly what she was doing from wrong. I see no evidence in any of the information that I've read or reviewed or seen or been told that she at all, at any point in time, didn't know right from wrong. Rather, she's made a conscious choice.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, a prison officer jailed after an affair with a killer who murdered their partner and baby daughter. But the twist here is the prison guard official is a woman, a 32-year-old beauty with three children and a husband waiting for her at home. And it gets worse. She reportedly tried to get the inmate she was sleeping with to help her set up another prison guard to make him look like the, quote, corrupt officer on the wing. With me, special guest Percy Pitzer, retired federal warden, 30 years in corrections, founder of Creative Corrections Education Foundation. Percy, what does that mean to be, I know what it means to be a bad cop. It can mean any number of things, but what is a corrupt prison guard? What's an example of a corrupt prison guard? You're not out on the streets planting dope or paying off snitches. Or what's a corrupt prison guard?
Well, again, I mean, it's through manipulation. I had a case one time where an inmate come to me and said, so-and-so's bringing in contraband. And I knew so-and-so, and I no way in the world would I think this person would do that. And so jokingly, I told the inmate, I said, well, bring me a Big Mac and an order of fries, and forgot about it. 2 days later, he comes and lays a Big Mac and an order of fries on my desk. So, I mean, and I don't agree with the lady that said.
But what does that have to do with being corrupt? Where's the Big Mac fit into this scenario?
Well, because the officer was, in fact, bringing in contraband.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. A Big Mac. Got it. All right.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of something more nefarious than a Big Mac and an order of fries, which is really making me hungry right now. A corrupt prison guard. When I think of that, Robert Crispin, PI, former cop turned special investigator. Crispin, Percy Pitcher's right. What is a more concerning or nefarious example of a corrupt prison guard?
Someone who's allowing weapons in, someone who's allowing cell phones to get into these people to make contact to the outside world.
Drugs.
To drugs, contraband, cell phones,
beating, weapons. Beating the inmates.
We catch New York through jailhouse informants.
Yes. And I was about to say forced sex on inmates. And here you have the female prison guard engaging in sex with an inmate. Well, take a listen to Olivia Dyer and Iona Stewart Richardson.
Isle of Wight Radio News. A prison officer from Ryde who had a sexual relationship with a convicted murderer has been jailed. Iona Stewart Richardson reports.
Mother of three, Lauren McIntyre, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. She'll serve half behind bars and half on license. The 32-year-old of St. John's Wood Road appeared at the Isle of Wight Crown Court today, having previously pleaded guilty to 4 counts of misconduct in a public office. She admitted to willfully neglecting to perform her duty at HMP Isle of Wight between November and December in 2018.
Miss McIntyre had a relationship with Andrew Roberts, who was convicted of murdering his baby daughter and wife in 2003.
And of course, she's not the first one to be lured into or initiate a sex relationship with an inmate. Take a listen to our friends at ABC 2020.
Ricky Matt, the natural ladies' man, takes his relationship with Joyce Mitchell to another level. He gives Joyce some of his paintings, similar to these celebrity portraits. Then he gives her something else.
What was happening in that tailor shop?
There's allegations of sexual contact. I can see how a friendship could evolve, but to go to the extent of having sexual contact, to me, is unimaginable.
Even more disturbing to visualize than a lockdown love-in with these two, Wiley says Matt talks Mitchell into helping out with the budding escape plot.
The three of them were going to run off. She was going to have a life with either Matt or Sweat and leave her family, leave her husband, leave her son.
The deal was not something for nothing. Wiley claims in exchange for a fun-filled future on the run with convicted killers, Mitchell had to smuggle in the tools they'd need to escape.
Yes, that's right. I'm sure you've all heard of Escape at Dannemora. A 55-year-old tailor, Joyce Mitchell, was planning to leave her husband, if not more, and run off with two inmates that are in high-security lockdown, even helping them escape. Take a listen to Brian Todd.
Inmate Eric Jensen worked at the Clinton Tailor Shop with Joyce Mitchell and David Sweat. And tonight, he drops a bombshell. Jensen says about 4 times a week, Mitchell and Sweat would disappear into a closet at the tailor shop, sometimes for a half hour or 45 minutes.
I believe they were getting it on. I believe they were getting it on in that back room.
Mitchell's husband, Lyle, says she swore to him she never had sex with either inmate. But Jensen says Mitchell's interactions with Sweat suggested otherwise.
Giggling like a schoolgirl, and not only that, it's actually like when like, you know, the superstar football player, he asked a girl out on a date or for the prom or something like that.
Superstar football player asked somebody out to the prom? We're talking about convicted killers and female prison guards who engage in sex relationships with them. Not only that, back to you, Ray Caputo, Joyce Mitchell actually arranged having escape tools brought into the inmates in frozen hamburger meat. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy because this is a woman who technically is in a position of power over these two guys, but that role is reversed, that Richard Mack clearly had this sway over Joyce Mitchell, because all the things, when you look at hindsight, what that woman was accused of doing, none of it makes sense.
No, Ray Caputo. Ray, would you say that if it were a male prison guard having sex with a female inmate, and you're somehow saying, oh, the female inmate cast a charm on him, and therefore he had sex with her? This is very, very clear. She is in the fiduciary duty position. It's her responsibility as a prison guard, like a cop. You don't suddenly get enticed to have sex with the perp in the backseat of your patrol car, right? I mean, Ashley, where am I failing in explaining this duty of the female prison guard?
I think the duty of the female prison guard, first of all, is no different than it is for the duty of any prison guard. I don't care what anything they are. It's the same, whether they're male, female, regardless of race, regardless of socioeconomic, anything. It's the same responsibility. It's the same duty. It's no different. And another thing that I really have been compelled to point out, this happens all the time. It's not right. I'm not excusing it, but there are relationships between prison guards and prisoners all the time.
Well, I've got to tell you something. Never once in all the years I prosecuted did I ever entertain a relationship with a defendant. And this went far beyond in Joyce Mitchell's case of just having sex. Take a listen to ABC's 2020, our cut 10.
I'm sure once they realized that they could manipulate Joyce into bringing in the tools, that was the first step.
What did she give them?
Hacksaw blades, drill bits, a punch tool, a couple pairs of eyeglasses that have lights on them. She later then provided batteries for those lights.
But Wiley claims she had help, a guard on their unit named Gene Palmer, who brought ground beef to the prisoners with the critical saw blades hidden inside.
He was a cool officer, down to earth. I don't think he had any knowledge about what was in that meat.
Palmer says he had no idea, but admits he cut corners other times, helping Matt and Sweat in exchange for inside information on other prisoners. Now properly equipped, Wiley says Sweat begins gnawing through the walls of Clinton prison.
Incredible. Arranged hacksaw blades, punch tools, glasses with lights, handing them over to convicted killers. Okay, bottom line, Ray Caputo, what is Lauren McIntyre? What is her sentence?
She's going to jail, I believe, for about 3 years, Nancy. And that's painful because she's got four-month-old baby twins at home and another five-year-old child. That is a big part of those little kids' lives growing up without mom. But she's going to a prison that she was convicted in a court 2 miles away from the prison that she was accused of doing all this stuff in. And it's just quite ironic that she's now finding herself on the other side of the law.
I wonder how she's going to explain that to her children when they grow up and look up mommy on the internet. We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.